All right, welcome back, everybody, to our, I think we can call it our post-mortem edition here of the Three-Way Miss podcast after the shellacking in Rome. And it was so bad that Scott Peters actually has taken to a vacation in Rome. He wanted to go to the scene of the crime. Scotty is joining us live right now from a hotel in Rome.
Buongiorno. Right,
Oh, boy.
So my prediction was so bad that they sent me to Italy to clean up the USA mess, and is all I can find are a bunch of Patrick Cantlay hats.
In fairness, my wife pointed out that your prediction was actually spot on. You just predicted the score for the wrong team.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that, because I was going to make that point. I almost was spot on with the number. I just had it completely backwards as to who was going to be victorious. But my goodness, needless to say, I did not see it coming.
Yeah, TK, I mean, I don't think there's anything we can say right now other than it was an unmitigated disaster from the word go on Friday. Not only the play on the golf course, but all of the other nonsense that seems to follow the U.S. team wherever it goes. It was just a disaster. I don't think there's any other way to put it.
No, 100%, right from the jump. You know, it's funny, when we were going through our predictions, and you guys know I wave the red, white, and blue flag as hard as anybody, and I am patriotic to the bone. That's why I went with the close score. I was like, I can't bet against the U.S., but I didn't feel it. I didn't feel great about it, just because the Euros were like trending, so to speak, like leading into the event. And then, God, Friday, getting up early. I know a bunch. We got up early, right? It was over. It just felt like it was over before it started. And then, to your point, all the other snowball BS that just kind of came along with it through the weekend. And now in the recap postmortem, we have to live with this for two effing years.
Yeah. So, Scotty, you know, we talked about it, the three of us, a little bit afterwards, but you know, this is what we do as sports fans, and I think American sports fans in particular, as we look to someone has to be blamed for this. And I'm not sure you can point to one person or one thing to blame, but I mean, do we start with Zach and sort of seemingly a lack of charisma or direction? Do we start with the players, the captain's picks,
well, you know,
were awful?
It's so hard to find one thing that is at fault, because I was thinking about it, they Europeans were better at everything, not one thing, everything. They were better captain. They were better at setting up the course. They were better with their preparation. They were better at making teams. They were better at picking their team. And most of all, they were better playing golf. And, you know, there's nothing worse than getting up at 2 a.m. to watch your team getting shellacked. I mean, there I am sitting on the couch at 2:30 a.m. And I mean, as soon as Victor Hovland chipped in on the first hole in that match, that first, whatever, I think his first or second match, I mean, I had this feeling, are you friggin' kidding me? A year ago, the guy would have never chipped it.
Right.
Now he's chipping it, and it goes in. And it, you almost had the feeling like, I've seen this movie before.
And I think it was,
the ball just kept going in the hole.
Right. And I think what a lot of it that was so shocking was, this was not losing 6 matches, 8 matches, 2-1 or 1-up. I mean, TK, 9-7 from Brooks and Scotty. It's impossible, right? That's impossible.
I mean, it really is. And a side note about that match, at least, you know, we may not talk about all 12 individuals on the U.S. team, but I mean, Scotty at least showed some emotion after that match, like that he cared, right? And the other guy probably went out shopping, right? I mean, seriously. You know what I mean? It was like, at least
Scott,
I mean,
baby gifts, you think? Or?
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just, it was so bad. One of my employees took the day off because he's such a Ryder Cup fan. And I texted him. I said, is this the worst use of one of your vacation days of all time?
But, I mean, kudos to, I mean, Hovland was absurdly good.
Yeah.
I mean, Rahm's a stud. Rory played great. Tyrrell Hatton played great.
Fleetwood. I mean,
the
rookies. I mean, they were just solid top to bottom.
No,
there was
un- speaks to you. You brought up Zach Johnson, and let's get into it on him, because the other side, Luke Donald. I mean, if the players play well, everything looks rosy, and I'll say that, right, pun intended. Like, even putting Rose with McIntyre, who said he was shitting his pants on the range, and Rose just held him together until McIntyre kind of got it together on the back nine. Like, everything seemed to work for Donald.
So was Zach, like, totally tone deaf or what? I mean, not only did he bad job preparing and bad job of picking, and I don't know about the picking. We can talk about that, but it's hard not to think the passion of Keegan Bradley would have been helpful. But anyway, his interviews were, like, totally, like, he didn't understand what was happening.
Nope. No. I mean, we had the
horrible.
We had the we're going to keep doing what we're doing after you're getting your ass kicked. We had the whole everybody's sick thing, which just reeked of excuses after day one. And maybe it was true or maybe it wasn't.
And he was proud of them after losing six and after one and a half.
Correct. I mean, it was grab bagging at its very best. We've all seen bad coaches and team sports. He was the epitome of a guy who had no answers. He didn't know what to do and he didn't know what to say.
And in fairness, let's think about this. I mean, why would he be a good captain? I mean, not to pick on Zach, but just because you won two majors and in your career, why would that honestly does not?
Yeah. I mean, he won two majors and he came of a certain age and he got picked to be the Ryder Cup captain. I don't understand it. It's not like he's ever been the most charismatic guy. And then you look at the inverse of that is Luke Donald and what we heard from the messaging that he had for his team, that you're out representing every other European that's ever played in this tournament. That's how important it is to be out there. And that, you know, heck, in the last pod, I brought it up. Is there really going to be a home course advantage when there's not even an Italian player? But the way that those guys.
Hey, Eduardo Molinari was a superstar because he set the course up.
Yeah.
To the European strength. So yes, there absolutely was a home
but, course. But how can guys from, I don't know how many different countries it was, but how can all of those guys seem to have more camaraderie than all of our guys who are from the same country and representing the same country? It's so disappointing.
Did you hear Justin Rose's comment post match when it was all over? He said, listen, and this is not verbatim. He said, you don't have to play with your best buddy. You don't have to be best mates with him. Right. But you can go out there and you can battle with them. And it was a total jab across the aisle relative. Yeah.
100%.
You know, hey,
here's another observation that sort of struck me was you think about not only Zach as captain, but think about all our assistant captains. They're all on the Champions Tour. Not one of these guys plays on the regular tour. Not one of these guys. I mean, OK, can you say they're buddies? Yeah, sure. Sort of. But the reality is they're not in touch. Right. I mean, they're not it's Monday morning quarterbacking. I get it. But boy, it's hard not to look at all the reasons why we didn't win and say, well, of course we didn't win.
Well, you go back to our pod we did in August and before the picks were made and we had some inclinations on kind of the good old boys club, how it was going to go down relative sure. to Cam Young and Keegan Bradley. And they weren't going to be in because of that. And speaking to your vice captain's comment, that's what it is. And it needs to relative. Now, here's the problem. We're going to come back to Bethpage and we're probably going to win.
Are we not worried about, by the way, I can't wait. We touch on that because I texted Matt as a lot of the stuff was going down. I'm worried about the future and the tenor and tone of this event because it's only getting uglier. And can we go to a more volatile, potentially uglier place than Bethpage?
No. Oh. It's going to be a disaster.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to get out of control. But, you know, look, we can get into the captain's picks. Who, as I referenced, I forget the exact record, 4-12-1 or 4-12-4 or 4, whatever. I mean, they were terrible. They were just terrible. Although, to your point, TK, you know, we talked and who we thought the picks were going to be. I thought that JT equipped himself fairly well, all things considered. Agreed. It certainly didn't help that his partner was awful. Absolutely. I think we're all really Jordan guys. It was as bad as it got, Scotty, watching him play. It was painful.
And you look at, I'm at the top of the Jordan fanboy, right? And I love the guy, but my goodness. And so part of the issue, right? And so I'm sort of making excuses for Jordan, but two things. A, the whole team hadn't played for 5 weeks. And as you look back,
correct.
Hello,
yep.
right? And add to it that Jordan just had a baby 2 weeks before. And so, yep. of course, he wasn't prepared. And so, okay, we'll give him a pass on that, if you will. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, he sucked.
Yes.
He just sucked. I mean,
it was. How bad is it when you're playing in a four-ball match and you're never on TV because your partner's having to play every hole by himself?
No, he was on TV when he high-fived him after JT made a putt. And again, I love Jordan, but it just, you know. It was really, really painful to watch. But my other, a fanboy of Jordan's, but can we not at least the one positive, maybe two, but the one positive thing is, can we not just love Max Homa?
He was phenomenal.
I mean, can you not love Max Homa?
Phenomenal.
Not only because, you know, TK, you mentioned, I think appropriately so, that Scottie Scheffler showed that he cared and some passion. Max was times 10, right? And he performed. And so, man, I thought he was that unplayable on 18 and then getting up and down. Wow, that was amazing. That was really cool.
He was the bright spot.
100%. And, you know, I want to get into Max, but I also do want to say, you know, doubling down on the JT, he was, I mean, unbelievable that we went into it saying, okay, JT could be the make or break. Is this pick going to be the make or break? No, he was fine, to your point. I mean, literally 4/5 of the other captain's picks, four, were not horrendous or close to horrendous. Like, it wasn't even close. Can you believe if going into the week they would have said, hey, Ricky's going off on Friday morning and you won't see him again till Sunday? What would you have said?
Hey, but you know what? At least he conceded that
58
three-footer. Right. I mean, just the beyond a forgettable week for Ricky that ends with him conceding the putt that gives the Europeans the.
I don't get, were they going to win? Yeah.
Of course. Everybody knows they were. I totally agree. But at the same time, like.
From a standpoint, wouldn't it have been more fun to make it and then celebrate rather
absolutely. Didn't he look somewhat surprised to you? A little bit? Yes. He was kind of like, really?
And who celebrates after a gimme? It's so weird. I don't know. It just. Well,
the whole thing. I mean, really, when you think about it, it was just disappointing. It's a great point, TK, about Ricky. I don't want to say he was a no-show, but he was a no-show. And by the way, it also helps after you dunked one in the water on that hole too to concede that putt to Fleetwood. So,
he's embarrassed. And honestly, I am a fan of Ricky.
By the way, Tyler has his head in his hands right now. I know nobody can see us, but Tyler currently has his head in his hands. That's how.
Well, my guess is like the rest of us, how you spent Ryder Cup weekend with your watching.
No, 100%. Until Sunday. Because even Saturday, I was like, I can't believe I'm totally going to get up in the middle of the night on day two to watch. I was texting Scotty.
Yep. Yes.
May have actually been smart and stayed in bed a little bit longer that
morning. Well, I was a tri-state, so I was in bed.
Yeah. Well, I take it back. You were texting late night Friday when I was in bed. So, just ridiculous. Sunday, I just did not care. So I'd kind of been like, it's so frustrating. And it's amazing when you think back about I have been so frustrated when they go over there and play in Europe. And then they come here and it's like, we're kicking ass and taking names. It's amazing the dichotomy between what happens in the home and away matches.
Well, look, I think in fairness, we have to bring it up that it's the off the course stuff just seems to follow these American teams across the pond. And who knows what was true and what wasn't and what Jamie Weir was putting out there and whether or not it was actually accurate. But the unfortunate thing is, whether or not it was true, it just doesn't seem to surprise anyone at this point that there is off the course drama that follows a group of players that just doesn't seem to have that cohesiveness and sense of camaraderie. And it, I think in a lot of ways that taints the whole thing.
I think the word is entitlement is what's to me that sort of sums it up. It seems like they're entitled to something that is, you know, we can debate whether they should paid or not be paid. I personally think professional golfers should be paid and whatever, but that's neither really here nor there. It's more the attitude than it is whether they're getting paid or not. And it's just part of how they conduct themselves in the sense of, you know, we ask why the Europeans win. Well, they're more cohesive because you know, the we is bigger than me, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's too much me on the U.S. team and not enough we. And I think that sort of carries out throughout the whole weekend. And I don't know, I guess maybe it's easier to be the, you know, underdog. The Europeans want to beat the big bad USA and that, I don't know. I can't get it. I can't get my arms around it. I don't quite understand.
Well, it's interesting. We know we talk about Spieth having a kid a couple weeks before the Ryder Cup. And then we find out that Cantlay is getting married the day after or the 2 days after it's all over. So what the hell was your focus while you were there? Was your focus on playing golf? Now he played good. There's no doubt about it. But still, it's a distraction, right? It's almost like, well, sure, let me double up the Ryder Cup trip with our wedding, you know, instead
Maddie,
of being focused.
Little side note. He's not planning his wedding like we had to plan our weddings.
True.
Well, you can argue he got paid indirectly because they got a free flight to Rome for it. I mean, I don't know.
Good point. It's a good hustle.
All right, come on. We got to get to it. Hatgate.
Well, TK, let's just say TK enjoyed being the bystander, didn't he, Scotty?
We haven't heard a word from him, so I'm curious what he thinks. He clearly knows what you and I think.
Well, so honestly, these guys, so for our listeners, last Friday night, you know, after day one of the Ryder Cup, I was up at 2 a.m. So I was in bed. I can just tell you this. Maddie's up at Tri-States. He's having a ball with the New Hampshire team. Scotty's going back and forth with him. They are just getting into – I didn't see any of this. This is on my text. I see it the next morning when I get up.
So you guys would have been Saturday, right?
This is Saturday in the middle of the night when I get up to watch day two.
Yeah. Day two. Wasn't Hatgate day two?
Yeah, it was on Saturday.
I'm sorry. Right. You're right. Anyways.
Yeah, so when you got up Sunday to watch, you saw.
Yeah, I'd gotten up early again, obviously. Pardon me, I didn't get up early, but I had gone to bed early again because I'd gotten up in the middle of the night two nights in a row. And so I didn't see this. I read the text thread, and I was just – I mean, I was laughing. Now, mind you, I had a little time to digest all the little sidebars online.
Yeah, Twitter. And also keep in mind that we're doing it live. And so in fairness, a lot of my thoughts were based on what I knew at the time.
Yeah.
And we had not seen all of the videos. And so I probably need to back off a little bit on my position in the sense that – so it started with the fact that I was all over Matt because, of course, he sides with his boy Rory. Like, no matter what.
I don't even get the benefit of the doubt that the first text I get about this is, of course, you're going to side with Rory.
Of course you're with Rory. I mean, of course.
Rory could have killed someone on course, and Matt would have been like, he deserved it.
Yeah, totally. Got me going.
I mean, obviously, my rooting allegiances lie with the Americans. I mean, so
that's not that obvious, but go ahead.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, look, it was the
we
you know did
try to
change the manner of the argument a little bit, but I think this was the. It was the emotion of the Ryder Cup and everybody involved let their emotions in that moment get the best of them. And I think in hindsight, everyone could have handled every single second of that better than they did. And I think with some time away from it, I'm hoping that's what everyone realizes, because I don't really think, knowing the personalities, I don't think that there was a bad guy in all this. People overreacted and didn't handle the situation like they normally would have if this was a regular tour event, because you don't get that kind of atmosphere at a regular tour event.
100%. I mean, backing
I think that's well said. Go ahead, TK. Yeah,
no, very, very well said relative to it. And I think that has absolutely probably happened, because these guys that were involved in it are all pretty tight, and they're connected via some pretty tight webs on tour. But if you look at the LaCava video, like when you watch it, you may have sent the clip, or if not, we've seen clips from the other angle. I mean, what was he doing at the end of the day? Like, what was Joe doing? You know, so.
Well, look, well, I think
the last 10 seconds were the problem, right? For a little while, it was fine.
It was totally fine. It was
the wandering fine, back. Yes. Wandering.
Just to bring him a beer or something. It's like, hey, Joe, I know you ordered your drink, but go sit down. They'll bring it to you kind of thing, right? But in fairness, let's also acknowledge he never stood in Rory's line.
No.
So for Rory to make this, you know, he was in my line. He was never in his line. He shouldn't have been where he was. He was there too long. But here's the big problem. This is why I voiced the concern for Bethpage. Because if this is what happens in Rome, I'm telling you, Bethpage is going to be ugly.
Yeah.
Because now we know that the crowd can have an effect of significance. And if you tell the crowd at Bethpage they can have a negative effect on Europe, wow, watch out, because it's going to be ugly.
I mean, look, I think in fairness to LaCava too, I mean, I think he is as respected as they come as a caddy. And as I said to Scotty in our text back and forth, he was defending his guy because Cantlay was getting eviscerated by the fans. And I think any player would appreciate that the caddy has to feel like at the end of the day, that's what he's there to do, is to help his player, but also defend his guy. So I think that, you know, there's some level, I think you have to respect that it meant so much to LaCava, and probably could tell it was getting to Cantlay and he felt like he needed to do something. But I mean, would anybody be surprised if a player gets a beer dumped on him at Bethpage? Or worse? I mean, it's going to be brutal.
So two things. Agreed. One, fundamentally, if Cantlay says the hats don't fit, okay, I don't know where we are on that. Like, what are we doing, like, relative to, like...
By the way...
What?
Say it again, Scotty.
If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Like,
I digress.
Are we believing that? Are we, like... Can we not get the guy a hat that fits to start?
Wait, he wears one every week.
That's what I.
Well,
I
mean, look, like, wait a sec. Let's back off the hat. He didn't wear one for either any of the President's Cups or Ryder Cups, and Rory wasn't wearing a hat. I think that, honestly, if you don't have to wear a hat, then that's, to me, that's not a big deal. I don't see that as being an issue. I think that was completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah. And then the second point, I have not really had any closure of detail on the Rory kind of with Bones as the intermediary in the parking lot afterwards. Where has that gone? Where did that close?
So Rory came out and said he was the first person I saw after leaving the locker room, and he took it out on him and he apologized to him that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it had nothing to do with Bones. It was simply his opportunity to vent to somebody on the American team, and Bones got got a high heater from Rory.
Well, I read today, actually, that, and I apologize because I forget Brooks's caddy's name, but Fred Couples was saying that Rory went after Brooks's caddy at one point as well. So, and this was after they had left the golf course, I believe, on Saturday night. So it certainly didn't end there. And then we got no closure from the reports early Sunday morning that LaCava had reached out to the European camp and Rory's people and wanted to apologize. And then after the round, Rory said that never happened. They hadn't spoken. And so who knows? And I look, these are, I mean, Tiger and Rory are.
Look, let's also acknowledge the fact that Joey LaCava is essentially Tiger's caddy.
Right.
Tiger and Rory are buds.
Yeah. So I was just going to say. There's no doubt
in my mind that Rory and Joey are friendly.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it's a tangled web.
It is. It's tough. But yeah, look, I, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, Scott, there was some speculation at Tri-State that you were purposely needling me, which I could never imagine you doing over text. But
I can't either. I was getting some side texts from the boys, and
especially knowing that there may have been a couple of adult beverages that were going down. I can't confirm or deny that, but there was some speculation that there was some needling as well.
Put it this way: it was a softball being tossed up that you hit. You hit it hard. You hit the ball hard. Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, you know, all this is the is sort of the side note, because the bottom line is Europeans kicked their ass.
Yep.
And in many ways, it was over Friday morning and, you know, we didn't even show up to play.
100%
it was. And how can you not acknowledge the lack of preparation? They weren't ready to play.
Correct.
No, and they had to know that, you know, when they got there that week and they're going through their practice rounds, and they had to see that. They had to see that in terms of who was ready to go and who wasn't. I do want to talk about, we talked about this a little bit, but kind of the formatting, President's Cup versus Ryder Cup, and obviously Ryder Cup has so much history, so it's probably not going to change. But even like this Rory LeCava Cantlay like Hatgate thing, this is why they should do the positioning on Sundays, like the one-to-one thing. You know,
totally agree with you. I'm fully on board. That should have been Rahm should have been paired against Brooks. I mean, exactly. That was perfectly set up. 100%. It was Cantlay versus Rahm. I mean, it was totally agree with you.
Rory, Sam Burns, who freaking cares?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? It should absolutely be that way. And you could have 6 to 8 to 9 incredible matchups. And there's always going to be a couple that fall off, but it could be
just the pairings announcement would be must watch TV. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It's be, like, yep. You couldn't wait to watch the announce who's paired together.
100%.
Absolutely.
It's almost like that Sunday showcased that absolutely should be a thing in terms of Sunday at the Ryder Cup. It should be a one-to-one thing, and it'd be incredible.
Yeah, but
it's also fair to acknowledge, do we really need to turn up the volume that much more by this? Now, would it be awesome? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But would it add to the hostility? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good point, Scott.
Right. Every year is a little bit different. So this year the hostility level was high. There was a high volatility level.
It's gonna be higher. There's no way you can't convince me Bethpage isn't gonna be higher.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about this. I believe, and I may be wrong about this, but was Bethpage when Sergio was going through his his pre-shot challenges? Yep. I saw a rumor that it might be Tiger and Sergio as captains. I'm thinking, put some dynamite on the gas. Oh my God. Oh, anyway.
I don't see the Sergio thing. I just don't see that.
I don't either, but just the mere mention of it.
It would be funny.
Oh my gosh.
So look, to kind of to put a bow on this and let Scotty get back to his bowl of gnocchi there. You know, we after what happened 2 years ago, we all really felt and acknowledged, and I think there was acknowledgement in many American golf circles, and I'd say golf circles even in Europe too, that the U.S. had really found a core. And that core was going to be strong for years to come. And we could be looking at a significant run here of the U.S. just rattling off wins. There's a big crack in that foundation. And I think any of us sitting here think that we're going to win at Bethpage. But some of these problems.
So can we go to your boy's comment, by the way?
Right. I mean, talk about throwing gasoline on the fire.
Wow.
Yes.
Rory sits up in front of everybody saying the hardest thing to do in golf is to win on.
I believe he said in sports.
Oh, really?
Just in golf. One of the hardest things to do in sports is to win the Ryder Cup, not on your
foreign soil. Right. And we're going to do that at Bethpage. Wow. I thought that was aggressive.
It is.
Yeah, he had a couple of Negronis in him, I believe.
They are good. They're very fizzy.
How would you know?
but where do we go from here? I mean, we do the core is still going to be there. I mean, this was the youngest overall Ryder Cup, or the second youngest, I believe, ever, with the average age of all the players. So you're still going to have a lot of the same actors involved, but inevitably there's going to be some new blood there. But it just seems like as confident as we were after what happened 2 years ago, it's hard to really be confident 100%. It's to your point, TK, right? We all think they're going to win at Bethpage, but would we be surprised if they don't?
Well, but it's hard not to acknowledge the European core of young guys is equally as strong. I mean, my gosh, Justin Rose is the only one probably not going to be, I mean, old man on the team going forward. So their core is really good and really young.
Agreed.
Yeah, totally. I think the reality is so much will change, right? I mean, so much changed in the last 6 months leading up to this, right?
True.
With Hovland going on his run. We thought differently 6 months ago. We thought the U.S. team was still just stacked and loaded and solid. And it really speaks to how you're playing in the moment. And it gets back to the captain picks too, you know, because you look back at it and go, boy, obviously the second guessing and the Monday morning quarterback, easy with the captain's picks. But
so do we like six captain's picks at this point? Is that? I mean, I'm curious. I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
You know, when that came up, it feels like it's too many to me.
I agree with you too.
You know, I didn't think that beforehand, but when people brought that up during the bloodbath, my first reaction to that was, that's too many. We should have more automatic picks and fewer captain's picks.
Now, I don't know how that changes the team, right? And I mean, it obviously does to some degree, but probably doesn't change it much. But you're now going to guarantee players who are playing well. And I would probably tighten it up. I would do maybe in 1 year the top 8, 9, 10, whatever, instead of 2 year rotation. But it's a great point. I agree with you, Matt. Six seems like an awful
lot. It's a lot.
Even if it was four is obviously what would have changed this year's team, because that's where Cam was in the nine slot. You know, so, Scotty, I think your point is even more valid relative to shortening the window of what we're looking at. You know what I mean? So someone goes on a tear in 2024, right? That means they're going to play well at the 2025 Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be curious, and I don't know the answer, but I'd be curious if they had the 23 list of the top eight or nine. Who was that top eight? I assume the team would have been different.
Yeah. Who is on the list after the British Open in 23 versus who actually ended up making the team?
Right. For the year of 23, not adding 22 into it. I don't know the answer, but I'd be curious to see.
And really, the other change is, what are they going to do relative to this leadership? So from a captain, vice captain standpoint, you know what I mean? You said the four vice captains are all on the seniors tour and they're all totally generationally different than the people on the team. What are you going to do about that? And it's not even so much, all right, Tiger's probably going to shake things up a little differently. But yeah, is Freddie going to be on his vice captain? Probably. You know what I mean? They're boys. It's like, what are they going to do about the leadership on the team if you really want to shake it up and do things differently?
I mean, I love Freddie, but come on. I mean, right? I mean, the number of things he said before the event and during, you know, that people are going to play all five matches and Cam Young's definitely going to Italy and all this stuff was just wrong.
Go ahead, Scotty.
I do think Tiger's going to be the captain without knowing anything. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And on the Freddie thing, okay, Freddie is like a likable guy. Does he inspire anything from a killer mentality in the Ryder Cup? No, it's the opposite of that. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know.
Well, I guess it's good for us because we're not going to be short on palace intrigue here. I tend to agree with you guys that it's going to be Tiger. I don't know if that's right or not, but it seems like I don't know who else should choose. And it seems like because of the way this all shook out, the pressure to pick a dynamic captain, there's nobody more dynamic, and to come out and win and wax them and get this thing back is going to be immense. And yet at the end of the day, I think for a lot of us, look, that's fine if we win at Bethpage, but Jesus Christ, are we ever going to see them win?
Yeah. And isn't that the thing? Hey, if we give Tiger Bethpage, why not give, and he wins, give him Adair Manor in 2027 as well and go back-to-back captains and keep him.
Totally on board.
Yep.
So one final thought I want to ask is course setup. I wasn't thrilled with the course setup, and I wonder if just a normal course setup would be more appropriate. Now that we're the home team, do I want that? I'm not sure. But, you know, they clearly, appropriately so and smartly so, played to their strength and set the course up to their strength. And I think that was a huge advantage. And I wonder if that's the right way to do it or not. I'm curious your thoughts.
Go ahead. Yeah,
I think it's It's a great question. And honestly, I heard something that I kind of agreed with, and obviously it's got to be vetted out a little bit more, because the Euros were perfect setting up those drivable par fours where it took the wedges out of the U.S. hand, where they dominate in the wedge game. And so I was reading the other day and it said, all right, let a neutral party set up the course, right? The home venue gets to pick the track, but a neutral party sets up the course. I think there's something to be said for that, Scotty, because it's gone so far in the direction of favoritism with the setup of the course that we've almost kind of lost our way a little bit with it. So, you know, I could buy into that concept where a neutral party sets up the course.
And yet, do we want to be the first ones to do that? I mean, now that we have the, you know what I mean?
I totally agree. Nobody, no home host is going to give that up, right? So that's the problem.
Right. It is an interesting wrinkle in the whole thing. And, you know, I think there's been, this is a perfect example. There's a bigger focus on it now when it does seem like it made a huge difference. You want it to happen. You have the U.S. set up Bethpage and the U.S. loses 16.5 to 11.5 again. And it doesn't matter the setup, right? The U.S. set it up for their strength and still got hammered, or vice versa. I think then there might be some momentum to say, let's let an independent third party set up the golf course. But look, credit to them. It is the way it is. And they took complete advantage of it. And, you know, it's just, you think about the home crowd advantage. There really is a home course advantage too. There's no doubt about it.
I was thinking of our friend Ace Eaton, who's a New Hampshire golf legend who now lives in Minnesota. And the reason I thought of him is because of he lost, I believe, is either the quarters or semis to Eduardo Molinari in the USAM. And I couldn't help but think, because again, Eduardo was, you know, the genius behind the curtain with the course setup and statistics and all that. And I would have loved to have, and maybe we'll have to get Ace on to pick his brain on that one a little bit. But again, Eduardo was, I mean, it turned out spot on and deserves a great deal of credit for, you know, playing into the strengths of the Europeans.
Yeah. Well, I think we've beaten it to death. It sucks, but it is what it is. It was shocking in how bad it was, but it's too bad. You know, it's just another loss, and now we're going to be over 30 years before we'll see the U.S. win in Europe, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, best case is 34-year difference. Yep. I mean, it's like, holy cow.
Yeah, and you're going to be going up against Captain Graham McDowell at home in Ireland, most likely, right?
So, by the way, how good does that place look?
No, it's going to be Padraig.
You think again they'll bring him back?
I don't know. It's not going to be a live guy. Do you think it's going to be a live guy? I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, very valid relative to.
By the way, yeah. Isn't it kind of funny that the live guy got paid? Because Brooks had a $3 or $5 million clause in his contract that Liv would pay him if he made the Ryder Cup team, and he did. And you have two guys on the team bitching and complaining that they're not getting paid. It's funny.
Yeah. I think, I think Patty deserves it coming off of Whistling Straits. You know what I mean? You'd love to give him that. I also think that the Liv PGA Tour situation, I mean, we're talking about 4 years from now, what that looks like. Liv could own the Ryder Cup. Liv could buy the Ryder Cup from the PGA of America.
Or they could be the Liv Cup.
Yeah, or they could all be playing under fake names, like what's his name is over at the Alfred Dunhill this week. The Saudi guy's playing in the Pro-Am under a fake name.
Is that true?
Yeah.
The Princes?
Yes.
I'm going to start signing up for NHGA under fake names.
I thought you already had been.
Yeah.
By the way, did we know what a handful Xander's dad was?
What a unit.
Oh, good grief.
God. What a unit.
All that Italy has to offer.
Glad we got to do that.
You know, I think a good recap for everybody for sure.
Yeah, I was glad we could do it as well. And I can now sneak off and have a little pasta and red wine and toast the European team. So
what the heck? All right. Have fun over there.
All right.
Cheers, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Ciao.
See ya.